Good morning. It is really good to be here with all of you this morning. It is a special day. As we head into the message for this morning, this message has two parts. There's a part for you, and there's specifically a part for Brian and for Julie Heath. During the summer, after Jason had stepped out of his role as a lead pastor here at Main Street, Brian Heath stepped in to that role as the interim lead, and then after meeting with the advisory team recently, we had decided that today I'm appointing Brian as your full-time lead pastor. So I'm really excited about this opportunity to do that with Brian and with Julie. So here's how things will roll out today. I'm first going to share some text with all of us. I'm going to pull some challenges and some charges to you as a congregation, as well as Brian as the next lead pastor. I'm going to walk you as the congregation through a covenant as far as how does that relationship work between you and with Brian, your lead. And then Brian, I'm going to give you a charge based off that same text, and then I'm going to walk you through a similar covenant as well. At the end of that, I'm going to invite Megan and Julie and Brian up front with the advisory team, key leaders, and we're going to pray a commissioning prayer. After that, Brian will have an opportunity to share with you some words from his heart, and then we're going to come to the close today with communion, and Brian and Julie will be serving you communion as we head towards the end of the day. So I'm really excited. Before we dig in, though, would you pray with me? Just bow your heads as we say, Abba, Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you that your presence is here. We thank you that you know each step, you know each path. You know the hard parts of the path and the joyous parts of the path. This morning, Spirit, come. Fill this space. Bring with your presence power. Power to heal, power to save, power to direct, and power to anoint. We love you, we need you, and we thank you. And I pray these things today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. As we start this morning, I pulled a text out of 1 Corinthians to bridge our conversation. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. Paul says this, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. If you've opened your Bibles, that's a really good one to underline. God has been making it grow. So neither the one nor plants nor the one who waters is anything. Only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are all co-laborers in God's service. You are God's field. You are God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. Some in Corinth were saying, I follow Paul. Others were saying, I follow Apollos. And Paul, like a very weary and tired parent, is shaking his head as he says, really, is this what we're doing? Is this really where we're at? We're picking teams, we're choosing personalities. And then he cuts through the noise. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God makes it grow. This is how the kingdom works. Seeds, soil, planters and waterers, faithful servants, each with a task. But God, life only comes from God. So think about it. A farmer plants seeds, waters the ground, tends the soil. But can the farmer reach down into the mystery of the seed and force life out of it? No. Can he command roots to sprout, leaves to unfurl, and fruit to form? No. That work belongs to God. The miracle is always God. And here's the thing about seeds. Sometimes they lie hidden, unseen, in the dark earth for a season. It looks like nothing's happening, but beneath the soil, where eyes cannot see, God is at work. God is always, always, always at work. This church knows something about that, don't you? There was a planting season. A handful of you, 30 or so, decided not to let the story end when Compass Church closed. You believed that God was still working. You believed he was still writing a story for this church, even when the pages all felt blank. But seeds were planted, and then came watering. As Jason stepped in, he cast vision, helped shape this new identity of Main Street Church. His season ended with some pain, but even in the ache, let's not forget that he watered, that life was sprouting. And then, in the waiting, in the in-between, that God raised up another one of your own, a faithful elder, a steady shepherd who stepped into this gap, tended the soil, and nurtured the field. Each season different, each pastor with a role, planters, waterers. Planters, waterers. And we don't pit one against another. We say, thank you, God, because it's always God who brings the miracle of growth and transformation. Paul says, you are God's field. You are God's building. Let that sink in just for a second. You are God's field. Vancouver is God's field. The world, the earth is God's field. You are God's building. Those are interesting words. Do you hear it though? Not Paul's field, not Apollos' building, God's. This is God's field. This is God's building. This is God's story. And if it belongs to God, then your hope is not fragile. Your future isn't in jeopardy. And your foundation isn't shaken. Because the one who makes things grow has not abandoned this place and this work. So today, as we install Brian, your new lead pastor, let's tell the truth. Brian is not the hero of this story. Right now, Brian's going, thank you, Monty, for saying that. Don't put too much weight on me. Brian is not the hero of this story. You, the congregation, you are not the heroes of this story. The Spirit of God at work in this field in this building, in this congregation. The Spirit of God is the hero of this story. We honor those who planted. We bless those who watered. We rejoice in those who now build. But we fix our eyes on Christ. Could you say that with me? We fix our eyes on Christ. Ready? We fix our eyes on Christ, the true foundation, the master builder, the Lord of the harvest. And maybe the invitation for all of us is this. Don't ever cling to personalities, because they are workers for God, and he moves us when he deigns to move us. Stop measuring growth by who's in charge. Start trusting the God who brings life out of the soil, who turns seeds into orchards, who takes 30 people and says, "Watch what I can do with this." So, brothers and sisters, the planters have planted, the waterers have watered, and today a new builder steps into place. But the story isn't about them. Remember, it's all about God who makes us grow. I love this text. And I think that text was just so apropos for what we have been walking through, but also anchoring us to what God is going to do and is doing today, even as we install Brian as the next lead pastor. But as we install Brian as the next lead pastor, there's his part, but then there's your part, because you are all one in the body of Christ. And so what I want to walk you through next is really the congregational response. So I'm going to give you a handful of statements and give you an opportunity to respond. As each statement is read, if you're in agreement, would you respond by saying, "Amen, may it be so." So we'll practice once. Ready? Amen, may it be so. Good job. And because I'm a strange person, in my brain, I just went to Star Trek, The Next Generation, with Jean-Luc Picard, you know, there was in Riker, just, may it be so. All right, if you don't agree, don't let Brian know, okay? Just be quiet. Yeah, amen, may it be so. I'll read the statement, and then you will respond with an amen, may it be so. Ready? First statement, we agree to respect and honor your God-given spiritual authority as our lead pastor. Amen. May it be so. We agree to serve beside you to advance God's kingdom through the ministries of this church by using our spiritual gifts, our time, and the resources God has given each of us. Amen. May it be so. We will encourage you in your work by affirming your calling, your leadership, and the vision toward which God calls us. Amen. May it be so. We will pray diligently for you, asking for the empowering of Holy Spirit in your preaching and teaching, in your counsel, and in your daily decision making. Amen. May it be so. We will pray for your marriage and your family, asking God to protect and strengthen them and to help you balance the demands of ministry with your home life. Amen. May it be so. In an effort to keep you from being overworked or resentful of our demands on you, we will honor the needed boundaries for rest and days off. Amen. May it be so. We'll develop friendships with you and your family so you'll feel connected, loved, and surrounded by people who genuinely care about you. Amen. May it be so. We will not instigate or participate in rumors, gossip, factions, or disunity within the church, but instead bring our concerns directly to you or the appropriate leaders. Amen. May it be so. We will give of our financial resources as God leads and enables, so you're well cared for and not anxious about financial matters. Amen. May it be so. In short, we will do all we can to make your tenure here a blessing as we model the power of God's grace toward one another and toward those in our community and around the world. Amen. May it be so. And one side caveat that I'd just like to share that's not on the screen is actually more directed towards you, Julie. Because I need you to take care of Julie because she keeps me out of jail in the district office role that she has. I've been in ministry for 38 years. And in this role, I have visited pretty much all of our churches in our district and beyond. Churches often have a unique way of creating a box of which they want to put the lead pastor's wife in. And that is not God's will nor God's design. So as a church, my encouragement and my challenge to you is to allow Julie to find her space, her role, her giftedness, because I really need her at the district office, to find her space, how she leads, where she leads, not what might be a cultural church expectation for what she should look like or how she should serve. Brian's primary job as Julie's husband is to ensure she becomes the woman of God that she is intended to become, which means he needs to make sure she's on her path, not on the path everyone expects for her. Julie, your job is harder. Your job is to make sure Brian becomes the man of God God intends for him, to make sure that he is leading and running, and you have been doing that phenomenally well. You do have an exceptional gift in Julie because she knows all the inner workings of churches, inside, outside, front side, back side. So you are fortunate, very fortunate with that. But again, remember to also guard her. So if I could get an amen, may it be so on that, I'd appreciate it. Amen, may it be so. And Julie did not pay me to ask that, so just want you to know. So Brian, out of that text, that I just wanted to pull quickly five things that I would just quickly challenge you to and charge you to out of that text in your role as pastor. In verse 5, we read that what, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants. What is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants. That you are a servant, not a celebrity. And that is, I think, one of the most important things. We are seeing far too much celebrity worship of pastors today, and we are seeing those churches crumble and fall because they're built on commodity and not on communal presence. So you're a servant. Remember that. Not a celebrity. Your calling is not to be the hero of this church, but to be the servant of Jesus and his people. So carry this mantle with humility. Let your leadership point not to you, but to the one who is establishing you in this leadership today. Second, also in verse 5, because he says that as the Lord has assigned to each his task, your task is assigned and not self-chosen. This is so important. And boy, if you guys could get a behind-the-scenes look at our world in the district office, it's really trying to help men and women identify calling, not career. Ministry is not a career. If it was a career, I would recommend to everyone going through our ordination process to pick a different career. You'll get paid better and you'll have far less stress in your life. If it's calling, though, if it is calling, Brian, it's the calling that gets you up on all those mornings that you just don't want to do it, that you've got there's another hard part of the journey, another painful point in the congregation, all these pieces, is that calling is what anchors. It's calling that you go, I can do this because it's not about me, it's about him. And then that's where the power and the strength infuse you. It's not just self-chosen. I believe God is calling you as the next person to build on what's been planted and watered for this next season. Scripture says each has their task as the Lord has assigned. Don't compare yourself to those who came before. It's important. They both led different. They've all led different. It's not your effort alone here. Third, in verses 6 and 7, Brian, you plant and water, but you cannot control growth. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. This is the heartbeat of this text. You will sow the word. You will water the soil, this congregation, with prayer and teaching and shepherding. But remember, it's not you that brings new life. It's not you that grows the church. The sooner any pastor learns this lesson, the sooner stress begins to fall off of them. Your call is faithfulness. Your call is to faithfully lead in the way God has gifted you and has gifted this church, the way you empower this church to step into their gifts as one body of many parts and begin to minister and see the surrounding neighborhoods from not only in Vancouver but beyond begin to experience the kingdom of God in its totality. Your job is the faithfulness to that mission, not to you make it grow. And too many leaders get caught in that, I make it grow. So what they do is they jettison the Spirit's leadership and they rely on their own gifts and their talents, which while they do have, there's always a lid and there's always a cap. Some leaders have grown their churches larger than they should have. If anyone has ever heard that preached, probably not. They grew it larger than they should have because they did not have capacity to disciple the people into the kingdom of God. And some people have under-shepherded. They haven't put their elbow to the hard work of ministry. And there are people surrounding those churches that are in desperate need of a relationship with Jesus and still haven't heard because the call hasn't been taken as seriously. So faithfulness to your call. The growth, let it go. It will come as God intends based upon your faithfulness. In verse 8, we read that the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. So you share in a common mission, Brian, and not a competition. You stand on the shoulders of those who planted before you. Honor their labor. Honor their labor. Bless what was sown and partner with those who serve alongside you now. You have a great team. Here you have amazing people on your advisory team, and with Evan partnering together in ministry with you and pastoring, you have such a great opportunity right now. So build carefully, build wisely, build prayerfully so that everything you do points to Christ as the foundation of this church, as foundation. Finally, in verses 9 and 10, Paul reminds us that you are God's field, God's building. He said, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. You will build, but you must always build on the foundation of Jesus. Never on personality, never on programs, never on human strength, but carefully, wisely, prayerfully, so that everything you do points to Christ as the true foundation. So, Brian, the pastor's role is a sacred but never ultimate, I think is what I'm trying to tell you. You are servant. You are entrusted with God's assignment, laboring faithfully in planting and watering and building carefully on the foundation of Christ, while always remembering that it is God alone who brings the growth. So I'm going to have you stand. As I charge you today to serve this congregation with humility, to shepherd with compassion, to preach the word faithfully, to lead with courage and vision, to pray with dependence, and above all, keep Christ at the center, for this is his church. So, Brian, I'll ask you to respond with God's help, I will, to these statements. So I start with this one. Brian, will you commit to faithfully follow Jesus, to pursue a life of holiness and purity? And will you marinate your mind and heart in the Word of God, listening and responding to the Spirit?
With God's help, I will.
Will you commit to growing in how you model what it looks like to be a mature follower of Jesus in your role as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a friend, and as a pastor.
With God's help, I will.
Will you learn to be quick to allow the grace and truth of Jesus to dominate how you interact with others?
With God's help, I will.
Will you commit to making disciples who make disciples, so there will be a clear model of disciple making for others to follow in whatever stage of life or maturity they may be in?
With God's help, I will.
Will you commit to a mission and a vision for this church that includes this city, the region, and the world, like Acts 1:8? And will you personally model what it looks like to engage people who are far away from God? Brian, as you well know, our world is very broken and people are desperate for love and for light. Will you commit to faithfully teach and live the truths of God's word? And will you guard this church family from harmful teaching without compromise, even when the pressure to conform to cultural norms presses in?
With God's help, I will.
Finally, will you commit yourself to loving this congregation, giving the best of what you have to meet her deepest needs by praying earnestly for her and nurturing this family as a good spiritual dad?
With God's help, I will.
Well, then by God's grace and through his empowering strength, may it be so, Brian. Amen. 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 I'll let you step up.
Wow. I first have to say I'm just thankful. I'm very grateful for the group of leaders here, for the staff, for the Burtons, and for Rose and Mary, and just, I could go on and on. Diane, who's downstairs, probably pulling her hair out. I'm, to Monty's point, I'm grateful for the leaders who have come before, who I've had the privilege to serve under and to serve alongside and to see their heart for the lost, their heart for the city. And so I'm standing here, and I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be here with you, to be able to share what we're experiencing as we are pursuing God's direction. You know, this has been a journey. The last 4 years of Compass to Main Street have been full of challenges and emotion for both myself and for this church. In 2021, the leadership of the previous church made a bold decision. They felt that God wasn't done with his work in this community, but our church needed a fresh start. So we began this journey. I'll save all the details over the last 4 years, but just know that God continued to affirm and invite us to move forward with relaunching this church. A year ago, we celebrated, right? With the new name, with a new gathering as Main Street Church. And over this last year, we have seen God at work. He has raised up new leaders that he's brought to this space. We've seen people come back to Jesus who were lost. We've seen people come to faith for the first time here. We've seen people make commitments of being baptized, stepping into roles of serving and ministering and prayer. We've seen the power and the presence of God that has come through the times that we've sat together and we've prayed. And we've prayed over the city and we've walked down the streets and we've walked down the sidewalks. And we've seen God meeting us in those moments. We've started to reconnect and engage our community of Uptown, of our surrounding area, with the good news of Jesus. And it all started because as a church, we said yes. We said yes to God's invitation to his presence. We said yes to God's amazing and overwhelming grace. And we've said yes to the work that he's already doing in this place. I keep coming back to something Jesus said in Matthew 11. He said, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." And as I share that or read that, just those ideas where he is inviting us to come with him, to be in his presence, to walk with him, to work with him, and to experience those unforced rhythms of his grace. This is Jesus' invitation for our church. It's not to a program or how well I can speak on a Sunday or our worship team does, but it's to a relationship, to walk alongside of him, to rest with him when we're weary, to seek his strength, his presence, to work alongside him in his timing, in his way. What he has done here is significant, not because we had the perfect plan. The last 4 years have not unfolded perfectly. But what he is doing is because we have said yes to his invitation. We came to him and we're learning to walk with him together. God met me in that same invitation 4 years ago. I sat at Monty's office and I said, "Monty, I don't understand this, but I feel like God is saying you need to go back to the church." And Monty said, "I'll walk with you in that." I don't know what that means either, but let's journey together. And every time that I have just leaned deeper into my relationship with Jesus, the more he was inviting me to say yes. When I think about our story as a church, a month ago, Julie and Megan and I, along with Monty and Amy, got a chance to go up north to Covington to our sister church, Heartwood, and Pastor Jubal, who is a dear friend of mine. We got to watch him as he led his church into a new season as they relaunched a church just like us that was dying and now is being reborn and rebuilt. And I'm going to steal some of his message, because he spoke that Sunday on the book of Nehemiah, on the first chapter in the book of Nehemiah. And if you're not familiar with Nehemiah, Nehemiah was a servant. He was a cupbearer to the king. And he was a servant. But he heard the news that Jerusalem, his beloved city, his hometown, was destroyed, that the walls had been destroyed, that people were hurting and displaced and didn't have a home. And his heart broke for that city. His heart broke for what was lost. And so he just began to pray and to weep and to seek God. And it took a while. God didn't answer right away, but he just kept going back to God. Sounds familiar. 4 years. God then called Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah said yes. But here's what's important that I don't want us to miss. Nehemiah didn't do the work alone. God provided the workers. Each family rebuilt the section in front of their own house. Nehemiah needed the body. He needed the community. He needed the workers to work alongside of him and what God was inviting him into in order to rebuild the wall. This calling to serve Main Street Church isn't about me. It's not just about what God's calling me into, but it's about what he's calling us to. He's calling us to rebuild his church alongside him. This isn't about one person's vision or one person's leadership. This isn't about a community that says yes. This is about a community that says yes together. A community that walks with Jesus together. A community that works alongside him in the unforced rhythms of grace, which just means that we come as we are. There is no expectations than just going to the feet of Jesus and saying yes. And he does the work. We're just here to receive it. So as we move forward as a church, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for saying yes up until this point. You may not say yes after today, but thank you for saying yes. For the encouraging, for how you've encouraged and supported through the years, how you've been faithful to what God has called us to the work that he is already doing. Thank you for saying yes. And I just want to invite you to keep walking with God, to keep saying yes to his presence, his grace, and his work that he's doing here and in our community and all throughout the city and the world that he's inviting us into. That's all I have. Amen.
Well, I'm going to invite any of the leadership that's here to gather around. Julie and Megan, come on up.
Yeah.
Hey, Rose. How are you feeling? Okay.
Just don't punch Rose in the gut.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did have a clarification. Rose, we now think you've only missed 3 services in your 17 years. So the fact that Rose wasn't here. So when we talk about faithfulness and saying yes, she's more faithful than any of us. So.
All right, as we pray over, I'm going to let you guys start. I'll close.
God, thank you for this day. Thank you that Monty's here, and thank you for all those statements. I 100% agree with all of them. I pray for the Heaths. It feels like a lot of pressure, and it is, and I pray that we as a church can relieve some of that. In the district, too, that we give them the resources they need, the time they need, to be able to do that. I pray for Julie. I love what Monty said about letting her be who God wants her to be. And Megan, too. Being a pastor's kid is hard. Give her space to grow into you. I pray that we give them lots of breaks, Lord. Getting burned out is a big problem in the church, especially with leaders. So help Brian and his family realize when they need a break, and help us to honor that. Help us to give them grace when they misspeak or make a decision maybe we don't all agree with. Give them grace. Help our board to support them and fight for them. And thank you that Brian is listening to his calling. We love you, Lord.
Our Father, we thank you that Brian's answered your call on his life to be our pastor. Thank you for Julie and Megan as they support him in this role. And we pray that you will help Brian to put his family first and that they will protect time for each other. Thank you that you chose Brian for this role and that he listened to your voice and followed through with preparation. Thanks for the encouragement that he's received from mentors. Help all of us to support the family and their marriage with our love, encouragement, prayers, and finances. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
God, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and I praise you. We have been able to hear a bit of Brian's story through the years, and you have brought him through. You have walked him through. You have equipped him. You have every up and down has led to this point for such a time as this. And I love his family, whether they're up front or behind the scenes, it is a partnership. And so I thank you for Brian, Julie, and Megan. Thank you for their, for Brian's leadership and encouragement of all of us. Mm. The way that you have called us, he is helping us to find that. And we are a team. He is the leader, but he knows that you are the true leader, and I just thank you for that. I pray for protection for this family. Protect them, Jesus, and may the joy of the Lord be their strength always. May it be a joy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm. Abba, I'm thankful for Brian and Julie and Megan. I'm thankful for their faithfulness. I'm thankful for the way he has continued just to step up in the gap for this body over the years. Mm-hmm. So today, Brian, as we officially appoint you as the lead pastor, I would just pray over you a fresh anointing of the Spirit, that you would feel the new mantle of leadership that God has chosen to bestow on you for this season. Father, I ask that you would give Brian an exponentially greater gifting of shepherd in his heart, and that you would continue to unleash your gifts in the people that call Main Street Church home, that they would step into those roles of also ministers and allowing Brian to lead and to help equip towards what you are doing here. Brian, I just sense in this next season, Main Street is also going to be a place of healing for many. I don't know what you should do with that, other than prepare your people to become ministers of healing to those who are about to come in that need a grace space. And so, God, I pray for Brian a greater capacity to love, a greater capacity to forgive, a greater capacity to release as we officially commission and appoint you today, Brian, as lead pastor of Main Street Church. Father, we love you. We love this family. And we ask you to bless them richly as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Brian.